Hey, Derek.
Well, hello, Michael.
It seems so odd to not have you here in the worldwide headquarters, but holidays and work and craziness being what it is, it's been a couple of days since you and I have had the chance to record, and damn it, I missed your dulcet tones.
Thanks, buddy. I missed your face.
And you're still missing my face. Welcome to this week's edition of Cheaters Never Win, folks. The edition where Scott Darling does something. Maybe nothing. I don't know. I just know if we throw Scott Darling's name out early, people are going to choose a side and get angry about whichever side they're on.
So are you saying Scott Darling is basically like the blockchain Bitcoin, like you just drop it in there and the SEO goes wild? Is he that for the Canes now, Mike?
I feel like it. I mean, Derek, let me ask you this. Has Scott Darling reached Alex Semin's wrist level yet? Because he is there a more divisive player on the Carolina, still on the Carolina Hurricanes, than Scott Darling?
No, I mean, he's the most divisive player, I think, for very different reasons than Alex Semin, obviously. But I don't think there's anybody who's like caping as hard for Scott Darling as a select few did for Alex Semin.
I mean, when Scott signed, we officially signed on to be the drivers of the Scott Darling bandwagon, you know, actively have supported him and done our best and really not only, you know, care for the guy, but, you know, just want to see him succeed. Derek, I feel like we've reached a crossroads. And Adam Gold called it out this week. Is it time for the Canes to think about doing something differently? So, you know, one of the things I want to talk about tonight is I want to talk about Darls. I want to talk about the guy who's playing a net as we speak up in La Belle Centre, Curtis McElhinney. And I think it's finally time that you and I solve the goaltending woes of the Carolina Hurricanes for the last 9 seasons.
Oh, it's my favorite episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The gang solves the Canes' goaltending problem.
Oh, gracious. Speaking of things, Derek, I know you're currently pumping out a few resumes. Have you sent anything to Mr. Holmgren yet to take over the Flyers?
No, I just don't think that Hackstall and I would get along all that well.
I mean, but if you're the GM, you could fire him, right? Because the GM gets a chance to fire the coach.
It's a good point.
I mean, I don't know. I think Gritty should be GM. I think Gritty would make a great GM. But
like, can you imagine just like Gritty staring down Dubas in a Nylander deal?
Oh, that would be the best. I mean, or you know, he just walks into the locker room and just googly eyes JVR until JVR remembers that, you know, he's supposed to score all the power play goals.
Okay, so here's my real question for you. If Gritty's a GM, because we all know mascots are incapable of speech, right? But is Gritty literate? Like, can he read and write? I don't know. He's got that crazed look in his eyes, but is he just going to communicate through intimidating looks? And if so, is a trade going to go horribly wrong because the GM decided to do something that like Gritty didn't really want, but Gritty's like, okay, cool, I've kind of got this guy bent over a barrel, let's roll with it? I don't know. There's so many unknowns, Mike.
Yeah. First mascot GM, which would be the most Philadelphia thing ever. Derek, I was actually reading something on the interwebs that was talking about people who could potentially be the next general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, and I read something, and I'm like, this seems so familiar. I feel like I've read this story before. Something about ousted old school GM who can't cut it in Carolina moves to Pennsylvania to take talent-laden team to the promised land. I don't know. It seemed so familiar, and I didn't know quite how to process it. There's something there. I don't remember quite recall what it is. But I did see a sign up in North Raleigh, Cane shares for sale, $20 a piece, in front of a really nice neighborhood. So somebody up there is divesting themselves of partial ownership in the Canes, yada yada yada. I don't exactly know how all of this stuff plays out. I just know it doesn't end well for us. I mean, it's great for clickbait, but still.
Yeah, the idea of Ron Francis as the Flyers GM, just it feels so weird.
It does.
I think it's mainly because, one, he's never been associated with that franchise aside from the fact that he played for the other franchise to wear Cooperalls, but he's well known as a Penguin. He grew up a good Ontario boy, spent tons of time here in Raleigh, spent tons of time in Hartford, all around Philly, but everything about Ron Francis's presence and how he played the game could not be more antithetical to how the Flyers in their heyday played the game and how their fans perceive the game to a large extent. So all of it just feels very weird. I think if you said Ron Francis to insert one of 27, 28 other teams here, I'd go, yeah, okay. But Philly just feels like an odd landing destination for a guy like Francis.
Oh, speaking of, something just landed in my office here. I don't know why. You said Francis to the GM of the Flyers and shit's just falling off the walls. Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's an interesting time because last year there was very few firings, and now we've already seen, you know, John Stevens out, Quenneville out. I believe, has Mike Yoey been fired yet? I don't know.
Yes?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, so there's all of these. There's all of these firings that have happened already this season. So, it's interesting and, you know, we're going to talk Canes tonight. We're going to talk stuff from around the National Hockey League. Unfortunately, no guest this week because, I was too busy to line up a guest. As the award-winning producer of this show, that award was designed and given by me, to me, from me, voted on by me. I failed all of us this week.
I'm willing to bet that is how 75% of award-winning hot sauces got their award.
Oh, yes. I want to be a hot sauce, Derek. If I were a hot sauce, how hot would I be?
are we playing the dating game now?
Derek, if I were a hot sauce, would I be hotter or less hot than Jeff Skinner? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Hey, Mike, if I were a hot sauce, what would you drizzle me over?
The Buffalo Sabres. Hit that damn X button.
Yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, another rousing edition of Cheaters Never Win. My name's Mike. I'm here with my podcast partner, Derek, bringing you here of the hockey talk, the hockey snark, beer talk, and just the random shenanigans around Caniac Nation. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, the good folks over at Bottle Mix, for providing us all of the beverages, your Caniac realtor, Don from Fathom Realty, and, of course, the good folks at Sports Channel 8. All right, Derek, I said he who shall not be named, and I mentioned the team that shall not be named. Derek, why is Jeff Skinner currently leading the National Hockey League in goals?
Because he's not.
Oh, he's no longer?
No, Patrick Laine put up a 5 spot.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Patrick Laine. He who was, of the hockeys. Laine, that is a Swedish for better than Nylander, I think.
or Finnish.
No, it's definitely Swedish. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. But shout out to my preseason NHL futures bet for Patrick Laine to win the Rocket Richard.
With
59 games left in the schedule, I'm feeling pretty damn confident about that one goal lead he has, because that never goes sideways. But Jeff Skinner, look, Mike, you and I talked about it on the podcast, and I think both of us were of the opinion that by playing with a guy like Jack Eichel, I wouldn't be shocked to see Skinner score 40. The other side of it is, we've all seen through his tenure here in Carolina, Skinner is a streaky player. There could be one month where he scores 11, followed by 3 goals over the next 2 months, and then he'll pot 13 the next 6 weeks. So, look, good for Skinner. Much like we thought about Eric Staal, a fresh start is good for both sides. The thing that, and I think the reason that we kind of brought him up here tonight is, when the Canes struggle scoring goals like they did over the weekend in Brooklyn, people go, well, look at Jeff Skinner. He's leading the league in goals, you know, second, whatever it is now. Why did we get rid of this guy? And it's like, he wanted out. The organization wanted him out. You know, the organization wanted him out because they found a trade for him. You know, Jeff Skinner wanted out. He never publicly said, you know, trade me right effing now, and then hung up the phone. But he waived a no trade clause to leave. He didn't pull a Ray Whitney and stay here despite being asked to waive his no trade clause. He waived it. If he didn't want to leave, he had the right to stay here. But obviously, at least some part of him wanted out, and so he did. So good on Skinner, and I think it's a shock to see how well Buffalo's doing. I don't know that Skinner would have anywhere near the goal total he does if he were playing here in Carolina for myriad reasons.
Yeah. I mean, Buffalo right now is this year's version of the Vegas Golden Knights. Without a doubt, they are playing well above their pay grade, have guys who are just way outperforming what their expectations were. Robin Leonard playing really good, Jack Eichel doing Jack Eichel things, and that team is really, you know, we said over the last few seasons, watch out for those 2019 Buffalo Sabres. We were expecting that the Canes would be really good by this time, but not quite. We thought Jeff Skinner would be a part of that crew, but not quite. But Derek, overall, if we throw out just the absolute stinker that happened up in Brooklyn, and we can talk about why that game was so disappointing. We came in off of a road swing and really needed to turn it around, and the Canes go 4-1-1, capturing 9 out of a possible 12 points in a 6-game homestand, and really seemed to, you know, be turning things around. Curtis McElhinney, as we said, was playing really good. The defense was starting to activate a little bit. Michael Ferland was continuing to do things. Sebastian Aho was seeming to kind of turn around his point scoring and play a little bit better. Special teams were playing a little bit tighter, and it seemed like of all of, you know, Caniac fandom, after that 4-1-1 streak, all it took was a single bad game by Scott Darling, right? And literally the entire Hurricanes team on the ice to just deflate that. So Derek, I know it's been discussed ad nauseum by local media, by even, you know, Rod Brind'Amour saying that this team didn't deserve to win, probably couldn't have beaten a minor league team that night. Hell, he thought the Islanders played a bad game too, but they were just less bad than we were bad. Why did the Canes have such an awful night on the island? And is there reason in that single game for worry? Or should we wait to see how the next 4 or 5 games play out?
Funny you should ask me that, Mike, because I wrote a little something on the 328.com today about how no one game is a referendum on everything. You know, we've seen it, I think, for literally every Scott Darling start this year, where it's this is his time or his last chance or whatever for him to prove himself as a starter. And if you're saying that after the third time in a row, it starts to become the boy who cried wolf, right? So, like, are we going to hear that if Scott Darling is still here in March, still playing? You know, who knows what the future holds, but if he's getting his 34th consecutive last chance to hold down the starter's role, cool story. The team started off like crap, and both of the Islanders' first shots went in. It was a combination of bad defense and bad goaltending, but I think the reason that a lot of Canes fans and a lot of local media are starting to be like, look, maybe we need to move on from Darling. It's not 100% on Darling. You, me, the other 328 crew, our friends at Tailgates, we've talked for the past couple few years about how it seems like the Canes defense and the whole team to a larger extent will play differently in front of one goalie than the other. And that can't be good for a goalie to get into a rhythm. It's not good for the team. And I'm sure to, you know, some way the fans see a game and we see Scott Darling make one play that makes us hold our breath, the team may do that. And if they're not playing the same style in front of a goalie as they are, you know, between Darling and McElhinney, it just can't be good for the overall team psyche. So maybe it's not Darling's fault completely, but the door is open in my mind for maybe we just need to move the hell on just for the sake of having a clean plate. What do you think?
I, as someone who put a lot of faith in 33, the injury, he was playing so well in the preseason. The team seemed to be playing differently, and it seemed like after the injury, there's been some sort of a mental regression in terms of, you know, still when is it going to happen? When is the bad goal going to come? You know, Tripp mentioned it tonight. One of the things McElhinney has done is he's been able to secure the spot between the elbow and the body, and to make sure that you know, just that fluky goal doesn't come in. And I want this fairy tale story to have a fairy tale ending. I want to see this turn around. I've said this on this podcast many times, though. I want to win. I just want to win. I don't care if it's Cam Ward. I don't care if it's Curtis McElhinney. I don't care if it's Pekka Rinne next year, or Sergei Bobrovsky, or if it's Alex Nedeljkovic or Callum Booth. All I want to do is win. And I know that a key to winning in this league is going to be getting at least league average goaltending, because you can't be league average without league average goaltending. And
Mike, if I may, please. I know you and I and Tom, Mr. Workrate, you know, I think, I forget if it was you or Tom who started the Scott Darling is my damn goalie hashtag, but as a result, you know, all of the 328 folk have been accused at one point or another to a certain degree of just being all in all, you know, fanboys and girls for Scott Darling. And I want to say, I don't think that's as much as we're truly like riding that hard for Scott Darling. It was something that we kind of, you know, whoever started it, and we all kind of bought in of like, why not try to rally behind this guy? The off season, he was putting in work. He lost weight. He was more visible in the community. Whether that was of his choice or the team forcing that upon it, I don't care. He was one of the most visible Hurricanes this offseason, and credit to him for that. And why not try to rally around this guy? Like, what the hell choice did we have? So let's try to make it a little bit fun, and maybe something good can happen. It's not that we're ride or die for Scott Darling. To your point, Mike, we want to win, and maybe this could have been the year Scott Darling turned around. To this point, he hasn't in the regular season, but there's still hope. And I don't know.
Hey, here's all I know. If Scott Darling has to come in and win a playoff series against the Nashville Predators for us, we're in a pretty good spot.
Thank you.
I don't know. I'm just let's talk about the positive, Derek. Curtis freaking McElhinney, still 1-0 here in the second period. Oh, Derek, excuse me while I do this. Live in-game update, 11:43 left in the second period. Carolina Hurricanes up on the Montreal Canadiens, 1-0 after having just successfully killed off another power play for the Montreal Canadiens. 1-0 in Montreal. Back to you, Derek.
Oh, thanks, Mike. While we're talking about positives, can you name a more random hat trick than Jordan Martinook at home?
Joe Korva.
What was it? Because at least Joe Korva's was against his former team.
Right, but again, Joe Korva, again, I mean, at that point it was his former team. It was before he had 22 different teams. So it's right up there. It's right up there.
I went all the way back to Jan Plavich.
Ah, yes, the hockey duck.
Against Detroit, I think. Was it opening night against Detroit that Plavich got that? I know it was a hat night.
It was. There was a string of seasons there where someone got a hat trick every hat night. And a lot of times it was, you know, a Stahl or a Skinner. Jan Plavich. I'm trying to think. Did any of the Adams boys ever have a hat trick while they were here? Craig or Kevin?
I don't recall.
I want Kevin Adams to have had a hat trick just because I love Kevin Adams. But
yeah. I mean, that backhand he had against the Rangers was worth two, but I don't think he got another one that night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at the positives. Curtis McElhinney, while I don't think he can necessarily keep up this pace to be the full-time starter, he is a veteran goaltender who has shown flashes of being really good. He's not as good right now as he was good last year for Toronto, so he has the ability to be even better. He has been phenomenal tonight in net, making just some, John Forslund thought he hurt himself making a couple of saves, and he's just looked phenomenal tonight, held this team in it. This has been one of those games where you've got two teams that are really, really want to turn it around. Shea Weber back on the ice for the Canadiens for the first time, I think, this season. But it's been a breath of fresh air to have somebody there. It's going to be interesting to see, because this whole three goalie thing is not going to play itself out for long. And once this whole thing is done, we're going to have to figure out which way is up in goalie land. But Derek, as we talk about this tonight, and as you guys can tell, we're not together, no guest. going to be a little shorter podcast tonight because I kind of want to go watch the second half of this game. let's talk a little bit about the upcoming games, right? The Canes are mm-hmm. on the outside looking in at the playoffs, but the Metropolitan Division is somewhat of a shit show right now. You've got some teams in the East in both the Islanders, Buffalo, teams that really shouldn't be playing, Rangers, who shouldn't be that good, kind of playing well over their heads. Do they kind of come back to earth? How do these Canes look? I think the next, you know, as we like to look at things in five-game segments, it's a very interesting next five games for the Canes because we get to play a string of West Coast teams to where, you know, sometimes the last 10 minutes of those games could be awful because we're playing for a point and then, you know, we see what we can do in overtime. But a nice little West Coast road swing too. So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen. Canes come back against a Ducks team with another Vezina quality goaltender in Johnny Gibson. What should we look forward from the Canes Friday night?
I don't know. Is Corey Perry still alive?
I think Corey Perry. I don't know if I mean like three quarters of the team is hurt for the Ducks. I think.
Right.
I mean, at one point, the Easter Island headed kid was playing well for him.
I was just about to ask about that big Easter Island headed dude that we wanted to draft.
I want to say his name's not Byron Richie, but Byron Richie also had a giant head.
Nick Richie. Nick. Wait a minute. Are they related?
I don't think so. I mean, it could be. I mean, by head circumference alone. Somebody look that up. I wish if only there were a machine that had websites on it where you could plug information in and have it return you answers.
Someone do some like cheek swabs of both Nick Richie and Byron Richie. Send them off to 23andMe and get back to us.
Okay. Someone's out there just stalking Nick Richie.
Don't act like someone's not already doing that.
Yeah, but then Byron Richie. I mean, Byron Richie's probably selling horseshoes somewhere in Calgary at this point.
He's probably making horseshoes.
Oh, he may be a horse at this point. I don't know. That was a big nugget.
Anyway. Nick Richie has played 10 games, has a goal and 4 assists on the season.
Live in-game update, 10:36 left in the second period. Carolina Hurricanes on the power play. I think Friday night's going to be one of those nights where if we come in, it's going to be the last home game before the three-game road swing. If the Canes can win in Montreal tonight, it's definitely going to be a big momentum booster for that. You know, then if you don't, all of a sudden Friday night becomes a must-win, you know, another must-win situation. So that way you don't go 0-3 into a three-game West Coast road swing. So, you know, we're going to have San Jose, L.A., Anaheim. We're going to do the whole West Coast swing. Tony's going to do it again. Maybe we should sign a guy named Tony so that way when we do the West Coast swing, we could actually perform better. Kings are trash. San Jose, we've played well, as we've already seen once this season. Derek, next four games after we win in Montreal tonight, I'll take the jinx if it happens. 3-1. 3-1 with a loss to San Jose who makes good on their NHL revenge game, and I think probably one of the two Ducks games go to overtime and we win in overtime when they have to roll out one of the dead carcasses of either Ryan Getzlaff or Corey Perry on the ice and we just wheel around them.
If I may, as an Ohio State fan, bringing up revenge as an idea may not work all that well. Just didn't go so well for the Harbaughs on Saturday. But I think what would be the most Canes thing of this trip would be beating San Jose by like 3 goals and then losing to Anaheim by 2 or 3 goals next game.
Exactly. Or LA. I mean, there's lots of options. Derek Kane still on the power play, 8:47 left in the second period, still 1-0. People listen to the podcast for live in-game updates.
Yes, sir. I too am watching the game.
I'm not watching the game as I do not have a monitor here with it up in the worldwide headquarters since I'm got the recording monitor here in front of us. So
second screen with the iPad and Hulu. It's a beautiful thing.
I know. All right, so Derek, we've talked a lot about the team, and I feel like we've kind of pull to Brooklyn and we're mailing in this podcast a little bit, but uh-oh, wait. I'm hearing it. Live in-game update. Please go ahead. Somebody scored.
There it is.
What do we got, Derek?
That would be the good guys again. I can't really tell because unfortunately Hulu's on a delay. So whereas you with the cables can watch it live, looks like that would be our client, Brock McGinn, with a goal assisted by Victor Rask.
Ah, that's 2 points for Rasker, 2 points for McGinn on the night.
I can't tell if Rask got a stick blade on it on the way by. Maybe.
No. Well, still, that's going to be...
Did that goal go in off McGinn's face?
Oh,
no. McGinn scored the goal. Sorry. He skated by, took a stick to the face, and it looks like Rask may have gotten the goal.
No, that'll be 2 goals for Victor Rask on our way to a Victor Rask hat trick in Montreal. Live in-game update. Just under 8 minutes left. 2-0 Carolina Hurricanes.
If that happens, do you throw sweet potatoes on the ice?
Yes. Yes. Victor Rask, if he gets a hat trick, someone should go to the airport and throw down a bunch of hats, but inside the hats should be sweet potatoes and knife guards.
Upon further review, the closed captioning here is saying that Trevor Van Riemsdyk was your goal scorer. So go ahead and save and consume your sweet potatoes. Do not drive to the airport and throw your produce.
This part of the podcast brought to you by the RDU Airport Authority. The RDU Airport Authority, they hate sweet potatoes. That's a gimmick I haven't done in a while. This portion of the podcast also brought to you what would normally be the Caniac Realtor guest line, Don from Fathom Realty at Caniac _ Realtor. Respecting the underscore. Don is one of our great sponsors this season, and we appreciate it. We've actually had some people reach out to us on Twitter saying, hey, I'm thinking about looking for a new house, and I heard about Don, so they reached out with Don, and they're kind of connected and looking for a house now. So there's at least one person who's actively working with Don based upon her sponsorship here, who may be prepared to do the Caniac sponsorship hat trick, which is buy a house from Don, buy the merch, and wear the merch in your new house while drinking beer from our other sponsors over at Bottle Mix. We don't know what we're going to give the first person that actually pulls off the Section 328 sponsor hat trick, but it's going to be something. It will involve them being in the worldwide headquarters on a podcast. I can say that. It will involve free merch and who knows what else. It will probably involve drunken tailgate too. So, Derek, speaking of the good folks at Bottle Mix, I know we've got cheat mail to get to, but it just feels like a good time to talk about beer right after the Canes scored.
Yeah, and I'm thoroughly enjoying this beer. So thanks to our friends at Bottle Mix, they've had a lot of cool stuff coming in. It's now time for the winter seasonals and the Christmas ales, and I'm not ready for Christmas ales yet because it's not December. I want to wait and get into some of those a little bit closer to the holiday, but it's cold now. Tonight, I think the wind chill is supposed to be like 19 overnight. Something really cold, so a good Imperial Stout sounded good, and Bruce and the crew up at Bottle Mix, they're like, hey, Derek, we got something in from Southern Pines. It's called Partisan Rock. It's a Russian Imperial Stout. It's not barrel-aged. There's no frill, like, the gimmicks to this beer. It's just a really good Russian Imperial Stout, and it comes in a tall boy can that's 11.5% alcohol for just, like, I don't know, $3 and some change or something like that. It's a meal of a beer. Mike, I know you can't see this beer, unfortunately, but let me assure you, there is not a modicum of light getting through this beer.
Ooh, it I love is, this.
This beer, it's very dark and very delicious. Mm. The can describes it. They talk about it, like some other story nonsense at the top, but then they mention that it's made with 13 different grains. Plum and caramel complement the chocolate and roast. Why they say that twice, I have no idea. Maybe there's some story behind the name Partisan Rock with the Russian Imperial Stout. There's some reference that I'm not hip to. But anyway, this beer is absolutely delicious. Southern Pines makes some really good stuff. They are located, conveniently enough, in Southern Pines, North Carolina. And the nose on it when I first smelled it, I don't drink as many Imperial Stouts as Mike does, but when I do, they're usually like barrel aged to some extent, or they have extra coffee or vanilla added to it. And I don't drink a lot of just really well made stouts with nothing added. And that's what this is. So it threw me for a second, and I was like, boy, there's not a lot here. And then you smell it again, you get the chocolate, that plum, that red berry fruit, maybe almost a little like really dark cherry, not a bright Bing cherry, but like a that kind of chocolate cherry that's real nice this time of year. And on the when I've tasted, I was like, okay, there's actually nuance here. It's not just beating you in the face with bourbon, oak, vanilla, caramel. There's roasty chocolate. It's dry. It's like good dark chocolate where it finishes dry, but you're still tasting cocoa powder and those dark red berry fruits. And it's absolutely delicious for a beer that is 11.5% alcohol. It doesn't taste that boozy, which makes it both wonderful and dangerous. So with that, I highly recommend that you hop on Creedmoor Road. If you're coming from 540, it's about a mile south. If you're coming from the Crabtree area, it's about 3 miles north on your left. If you're coming from 540, it's on your right. It's behind the Wendy's, behind the Briggs, all that. Look for Bottle Mix. They are tucked in the back right corner. They are loaded up with tons of beers, tons of wines. If you're having holiday parties or anything like that, you want beer and wine, talk to the folks there. They will hook you up. Tell them you listen to the Section 328 podcast and you want some Southern Pines Partisan Rock, and they will hook you up with it. They'll also hook you up with some other great stuff. So check them out and then buy a bottle of champagne from them and celebrate in your new house that you just bought from Don.
Exactly. Yeah, Derek, I may have drank a lot of good beer.
I feel so bad for you.
You know I haven't been drinking a lot of beer, but went up to the mountains of Virginia over the Thanksgiving holiday and did the Nelson 151 brewery tour. If no one's ever done that, there's about there's like 9 vineyards, there's a couple of big cideries, and a bunch of breweries right there in Nelson County, Virginia on 151. Shout out to the folks over at Brewing Tree. Their head brewer is the former head brewer of Star Hill, who left there like a couple of years ago. His non-compete's finally over, and he's brewing just all sorts of like crazy small batch, just delicious stuff. None of it's being canned or bottled yet, so unfortunately you can't get it at the good folks at Bottle Mix, but they were nice enough to take good care of I and the whole family, provided us with a lot of good beers. Everything up there is, if you're looking for about 3.5 hours from here, nice little beer tour. You can go up there and hit it. But for in Raleigh, go to Bottle Mix. Highly encourage you to get all of the dark, boozy, delicious beers you can get right now, because I love them and they are my everything. Derek, you know what else is my everything?
What's that?
Cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. Derek, this one for you. This one is coming from Andrew. He is at DLasky12. Hey guys, when's the next podcast dropping?
Funny you ask, Andrew. Right now.
Right now. So how about
I mean, that's the only way to answer this mid podcast.
I know, isn't it? That's what I felt like I said. There was a couple. There's two really good ones here. I'll ask you one of the simpler ones, because we kind of talked about this. This one from our buddy Dan McLaughlin. I'll go there since everybody wants to know your thoughts. Who's the odd goalie out?
Mrazek.
Yeah, I think it's probably Mrazek as well. He's the
easiest one to cut or trade or waive or, you know, whatever you want to do. His contract is the most flexible while his performance isn't as good. Like, he and McElhinney, their contracts are about equivalent, but McElhinney's playing better. So that makes Mrazek's financial situation the easiest for the team to deal with in a, it's been real, it's been fun, but I don't know that it's been real fun kind of way.
Well, again, the other thought of, do you waive Scott and potentially send Scott down to let him get his feet back underneath of him and let him play 15 games in the minors and see if that helps mentally get him back to right. I don't know. Derek, do you have one for me?
I do. This is from... let's see. No, I think we actually answered that one. That was from a while ago. Here's one from our buddy Kevin Kohler.
Solid question.
Huh?
This one's a solid question. This was one of the two greatest ones we had tonight.
In honor of Jake Bean's first game, here's an easy one. Top three beans. Go.
This one is, I thought about this one when he sent it in. I was like, you know what? This one isn't as easy as I had first thought. So, do I need to rank them 3-2-1, or can I just give you top three with, you know, without ranked, Eric? I'll let you make that call.
I am fine with no particular order.
In no particular order, baked beans. I love a solid baked bean, and that could have many different types of beans in it. I know it is a dish, but baked beans is the perfect combination of beans and pork. I love pork, so baked beans are on the list. This one is going to anger a lot of people. Garbanzo beans are on the list because I love hummus, and you cannot make hummus without a good chickpea, aka garbanzo bean. So garbanzo bean is on there. And at three, I will put the green bean, ever versatile, not only good in a casserole, but also good strong with pork. So there you go. Top three beans. Derek, I'm sure you disagree.
I do. So baked to be on my list, but I'm going to go a little different way because I just want to have an answer that's 100% different from yours. So in no particular order, Mike, number three, well, again, no particular order, sorry, jelly beans.
Ooh, interesting take. I like that.
Yeah, jelly belly beans, please, and miss me with that buttered popcorn nonsense. Team toasted marshmallow all the way. Number two, cocoa beans. I love coffee. Or I love chocolate. Chocolate comes from cocoa beans. And I kind of botched my answer there. But last but not least on my no particular order array of beans, coffee beans. Coffee is why we're all able to get up and go to work in the morning. Coffee beans. They're wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, Derek, it's like I ordered first and I was like, yeah, let me get the baked chicken with mashed potatoes and no butter. And then you completely out-ordered me. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I think I will have a Sam Jackson ale.
Yes. So, Derek, I'll hit
it's
you this.
It's my beer, bitch.
This one from one of our favorite followers over on Twitter. She is at NHL History Girl. We know her better as Jen, from Jen. Who's the most likely person on the team to wear superhero jammies? God, I love that question.
So, I had a first thought of it, and it was one of the guys who has a more youthful appearance, thinking of an Aho or someone along those lines, but no. The answer is Dougie Hamilton. Because Dougie doesn't care about the standard society is going to place on someone. He's a grown man who has dressed up in a wide range of costumes to put smiles on the faces of children fighting cancer and other diseases. He's a man who would much rather appreciate fine art than go hang out and have beers with the boys at Moxie's. Dougie Hamilton is coming home and putting on superhero jammies.
I see that. But, I mean, doesn't Jake Bean have to still wear superhero jammies? I mean, by law, I mean, isn't he still 12? I mean, he's only slightly older than my 4-year-old.
Well, here's the thing. Jake Bean is not the youngest guy on the team. He just has by far the smallest face. Like, it's not even that he has a small head. His face is just so small.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope he scores tonight. Derek, breaking news, live end game update. 2:47 left. Kane's still up 2-0.
thank you.
No problem. Derek, this one, there was a. I'm looking to see. Do we have any other cheat? We didn't have a lot of cheat mail, but we didn't send.
Hit
me with the last one from your mic.
I talked a lot about Scott Darling, so I'd like to get your thoughts on it real quick from our buddy Al Hood, who hopefully is. Kicking ass when it comes to his health. Is Scott Darling a bad goalie, or is this just a team who doesn't play well in front of him?
Scott Darling is a, I don't know. I don't know if Scott Darling is a good goaltender in a bad stretch, or if Scott Darling is a below average goaltender who had a good stretch. Here's what I do know. The relationships as it currently stands is not working. And hopefully someone can figure it out and figure it out quick, because I think this team deserves better, but I think also Scott deserves better. I think mentally the guys out there are playing like the, oh shit, what's going to happen? When's the soft one coming in front of him? And I think that affects everybody. So until Scott can beat that, I think it's on Scott. I hate to say it. I'm sorry. I like the guy. Yep.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I got nothing else.
Nah, I got nothing else either. 2 minutes, 13 seconds left. Kane's still up 2-0. Derek, thank you to Bottle Mix. Thank you to Sports Channel 8, who for some reason still puts out this podcast. Sports Channel 8, those guys, we like them. We like what they do. 8 to 10 a.m. over on 99.9 The Fan and the 99.9 The Fan app. We are still the reigning defending podcast champions of the 99.9 The Fan airwaves. Again, thank you to Caniac Realtor. Thank you to Bottle Mix. Thank you to all you guys for listening. Thank you to the Patreons. Thank you to the folks who went and clicked on the Buy on Amazon link before you went and did your Black Friday or Cyber Monday shopping over on Amazon. Remember, if you do go to section328.com, click on the Buy on Amazon link. It just throws a couple of pennies over our way and allows us to continue to do things like deliver this podcast to you, deliver you some halfway decent content to make sure Meg continues to have a place to put out her amazing Hurricanes watches, and make sure that we get a chance to get some local fandom coverage out of the draft when we head out to Vancouver this upcoming summer. So thank you guys for everything that you do. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday. Things should be getting down to a slightly normal pace for both Derek and I now that the Thanksgiving holiday is over. So fully expect podcast back to you with both of us here in the Worldwide Headquarters Studios on a much regular basis starting back next week. But until then, thank you guys for listening. Derek, thank you for joining remotely. And to our wives, thank you for still being married to us, even though, you know, we have to stand alone in a room and talk to each other for, you know, 45 minutes about hockey. Anyway, Derek, good to talk to you, brother. Everybody out there in podcast land, good to talk to you all. Until next week, my name is Mike.
I'm still Derek.
We're still out of here.